You're listening to Creepy Unsolved with Dylan and Sabrina.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to Creepy Unsolved. You know, I've had 4 hours of sleep last night. I'm sunburnt from working on the roof all day, but it's going to be an awesome episode because we have the author of I'd Rather Talk to Dead People. She's a paranormal investigator, Kitsy Duncan. How are you doing tonight, Kitsy?
I'm amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. Now, Sabrina, I understand that you have a shout out before we dive into this.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to my coworker, Juan, because every day I annoy him with the different conspiracy theory that I come across. And I start off the sentence as, oh my gosh, guess what? I read this thing, and he never knows if it's something related to our work or if I'm about to tell him some wild ass shit. So, Juan, if you hear this, thank you for finally listening to my fucking podcast. And also, did you know that I appreciate you?
That's great. Yeah, I have quite a few of my coworkers that listen to this, but I'm not really pestering them too much. I should be. To really promote us. Maybe I'll have to do that on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
So, Kitsy Duncan, you know, before I started this podcast, I remember listening to you on Missing Person Mysteries. I always thought that'd be an awesome guest to have on a podcast if I ever started one. So this is very awesome sitting here with you tonight.
Oh, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. And hey, Juan, so glad you're listening.
So you have a book that the title is just intriguing in itself. I'd Rather Talk to Dead People. Now, I had the opportunity to read a little bit of this. I haven't finished it yet, but it talks about your backstory right at the beginning. And it was quite interesting to learn that you weren't always interested in the paranormal, and you were kind of afraid of ghosts. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up, unbeknownst to me at the time, I grew up, you know, every neighborhood has that one haunted house that everybody talks about and whispers about when they walk by it. Well, I found out in high school, one of my friends finally told me that that was my house, and creepy stuff went on there. Nothing too terrible. You know, it was, well, to me anyway, I'll get into that in a second, but, you know, stuff would go missing in the house all the time. And it was the running joke in the family. Oh, the ghost took it. It'll be back in like 3 days, exactly where we thought we left it. And it absolutely was. And I had a couple kind of creepy experiences, in high school. I don't know if it was, because I found out that the house was allegedly haunted and the bedroom they always saw the ghost in from the outside was actually my bedroom. But then I married, I had a couple kids. Wow. And I moved into that. I bought that house from my parents, and that's, I forgot about, you know, the creepy incident I had. And I ended up hearing the exact same voice in that exact same bedroom, probably a good 6 years later. And as I was writing this book, come to find out, my sister had some terrifying experiences in that house. So, yes, I pretty much shut it all out, though. Mom would say, you know, you have an overactive imagination. And I bought it, thank God, because Lord only knows where I'd be now. But, yeah, and I didn't. And then, you know, you see the movie Poltergeist in the 80s, and it's freaking terrifying. So I just shut it out, stopped watching horror movies, all that stuff. And then my dad passed at 50 years old, so young. It was a massive heart attack. We had no goodbyes. It was sudden, unexpected. And I'm still grieving, honestly, and it's been forever. But I'd moved away from home, which is the northern part of Indiana. Now I'm in the south central part. And it hit me hard when I moved down here. And I just felt like I felt his presence. And yeah, it scared me at first. But I decided I wanted to look a little more into it because I didn't feel in any kind of danger, you know, like the Poltergeist movie led me to believe. So I started watching paranormal shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I refused to watch them for years. And I saw a commercial for Ghost Lab, which was the Kling brothers. And they were just yelling at the ghosts. I'm like, sure, I'll give this a shot. And I watched it and nobody died. Nobody was maimed. And if they were scared or uncomfortable, they would just scream at them like complete maniacs. And it was all fine. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should look into this. Maybe I really, truly just wanted to know my dad was okay and wasn't in a box somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
That you always wonder, like, what is after this and what's going on? To jump back a little bit, you said after you moved back into your house, you heard these voices that you heard in the past. Now, when did you first hear these voices? Was that involved with your Ouija board incident?
Yes, it absolutely was. So, senior in high school, having a sleepover with my best friend at the time, and no, it was completely boring except for the Ouija board. We went out to Toys R Us because remember when you could buy, well, you guys look pretty young, but you used to be able to buy Ouija boards at Toys R Us. And that's what we did because we wanted to be a Toys R Us.
Oh my God. Why would they ever, ever sell something like that there?
I know. Well, I think I've ordered some like recently why? From like Walmart.com. So they're still out there.
I can't even with that.
Everybody sells them now.
Yeah. So mom and dad had to take one of my little sisters off to softball practice. So it was me and my friend, Michelle. And we're like, okay, they're gone. It's pure daylight out. Didn't even bring it out in the house because mom would kill me. We're on the back deck messing with the Ouija board. It's working. It's asking all those questions. Oh, how old will I be when I get married? And how many kids will I have? And who, you know, all those questions, those high school girl questions. Yep. And it was great. And then, you know, we look at the clock. Mom and dad are going to be home soon. We better put this away. Really, really close on a couple of them. Yes. 1,000,000%. I'm like, God. Really? I'm going to have that many kids? And you guys, I got a lot of kids. So... Anywho,
that's
so
nuts.
We put it away. We did the whole sleepover thing. We're sleeping in my bedroom that night, and I wake up to the sound of, you know, stereotypical deep gruff voice saying, "Get out." So I sat bolt right up in bed, smacked Michelle like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, "Get up. We've got to get this thing out of the house. I don't know what we did." So we took it. I'm like, well, I don't know if this is true or not, but in the 1980 something, I'm not going to say a year, the thing was that Ouija boards, you can't burn them. They were like fire retardant or something. So we didn't even try to burn it. I'm like, okay, let's get in your car. I broke the board over my knee. Because I didn't know anything about closing out a Ouija board session. And then I'm like, well, what are we going to do with this planchette? So it's my girl Michelle had a, let's say, Blue Jay Blue, Plymouth Horizon, hatchback and all that stuff. And we went a couple blocks down and tried to run over the planchette several times. Nothing. It didn't break. So we eventually just threw it away in the alley, and that was it.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine hearing something like that in the middle of the night. And like, what did you do after that? You stay up all night, or like, what do you even do?
I honestly, it was a really, really long time ago. I spoke to Michelle about it this summer, though. Yeah. We actually hooked back up this summer because I told her I was writing about this. And she's like, oh, no, you don't remember? And I'm like, no, I'm old. What? She's like, we would make Ouija boards out of paper, like notebook paper, and use a quarter to make it move. I don't even remember that. So apparently I became obsessed with the paranormal and just blocked it out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we've done that before with, like, cardboard, and we made makeshift Ouija boards. And, like, I never did, or nothing really ever came from it, though.
See, I was forced to be raised in, like, a Catholic household. And while I am not a Catholic, one thing that stuck with me was my mom was always just like, don't you fucking touch a Ouija board. I swear to God, if you ever go to a sleepover and touch one of those, I won't even have to beat your ass because there'll be a demon that will be terrorizing you for the rest of your life. And so, like, since that day, I just, like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And now that I've, like, studied, like, a little more into witchcraft and the paranormal and stuff, I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to bother with that. No, thank you.
They're no different than any other piece of paranormal equipment. It just literally spells it out for you. You can ask more than yes or no questions. Yeah. I have actually right behind me, which you can't see. I have like a stack of vintage. I'm obsessed. I have vintage ones. I have, you know, like the supernatural version, all the stuff. And they even make, it's like an angel board. So it's pretty much the Ouija board, but it's got angels on it. So it's fine. Your mom would probably be fine with this one. And it's got a little glass angel.
Also, it's more appealing.
Mm-hmm. They were geniuses.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. That's more appealing to that community right there.
Absolutely.
So when this voice revisited you 6 years later, what kind of, you know, things was this saying? Like, what kind of stuff happened, I guess?
It was pretty much just a one and done, just like the first time. So we had just moved back into the house, and I had a very young son. I'm going to say he's probably 2, maybe 3 months old at the time. He was a crier. He had colic. He would, you know, projectile vomit all the way across the room, which had nothing to do with the paranormal. It was a reflux thing. But this night I decided I was going to let him cry himself to sleep. And, you know, my heart is breaking. It's the 90s. So I've got the little baby sound monitors. Definitely. Way before, you know, you actually had the video monitors. And I'm listening to him cry, and I'm listening to him cry. And all of a sudden, that exact same voice I heard, you know, a few years earlier comes over and goes, shut up. So this is over the baby monitor. The first time it was just in the room. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Needless to say, I ran to the boy's room and he slept with me that night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I would have been pissed. I would have been like, don't you talk to my fucking baby like that. You can go shut up, first of all. Second of all, it's probably your damn fault that he's crying. So get the fuck out of my house. Out of my house. Absolutely not. No. Mama bear, ghost or not, I don't give a shit.
But you got to remember, I was terrified of them at that point. So I sheepishly went and grabbed my child and threw the covers over our head. And thank God I didn't suffocate him. So,
so like after you got into paranormal investigating, did you ever revisit your childhood home and try to figure out what this was?
I haven't. But recently I became friends via Facebook through a guy who runs a paranormal investigative team from my high school back in the day, who was actually a cop for the same town. Okay. And I was doing another podcast and it was live and he was in the chat room and he's like, you should go back and investigate. And I'm like, dude, you're the cop in that town. Get me in there so I can investigate it.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you ever get that lined up? Is that going to be a future? Yeah.
No, we haven't. I haven't pushed it. But, you know, if I was ever given the opportunity, I have a lot of, after that incident, my marriage completely fell apart. My ex-husband was an abusive alcoholic. I don't know if it had anything to do with the paranormal activity, but our marriage was fine until we moved back into that house. Just saying. But yeah, it's really bad memories in that house now.
Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want to go back. Now, you were saying earlier that your sister had experiences in this house.
Yeah, so apparently, come to find out, she told me a little bit when I was writing the book, but we were at a baby shower a couple weeks ago, and it used to grab her legs at night. No.
What?
No, no. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Why didn't she tell anybody? That's what I want to know.
Hold on. Like, God. Yeah, I would have been spilling the beans right there. Any physical involvement with Wow.
I wouldn't even sleep in that same bed. Ugh! Terrifying.
I will tell you what, like, though. Bedroom that my sister was in was the same one my son was in. That just hit me.
Ah! Oh, my God!
Covered in
goosebumps. That's where it lives. That's its lair.
I'd be interested to hear the history of this house. Like, how old is this house?
It wasn't too old, but the people who actually owned it before my parents bought it, they owned a funeral home. And when we moved in the garage, there were like carts to push around coffins. They made a makeshift patio in the backyard out of concrete coffin covers. Yeah. So whatever they brought home with them is what was there. Yeah.
There's something still there. Yeah.
That's wild. Oh my God.
And like,
it gives me like Amityville Horror vibes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And like, I'm thinking of ghosts like being 1800s, like old nightgowns pulling chains and shit. But I guess, you know, there's obviously ghosts from this time period too. So anything, it doesn't even have to be the age of the house. It's just what happened on them grounds. That's interesting.
Yeah, super interesting. Yeah, that's
crazy that your sister went that long.
Oh my God, I know. I was like, are you kidding? Read my book, because she doesn't want to read about what I went through there. I'm like, just get past the first chapter and then read on. She's like, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. Right, that house never comes up again.
Now, you went from being completely terrified of ghosts into paranormal investigating. Now, how did you get involved in that? Like, I'm always interested to hear, you know, how you get your first, you know, case, or how you get involved in a paranormal group. Like, how'd you get started with that?
So, like I said, I binged after the Kling brothers and their loud screaming at everything. I binged every show I could get my hands on, did some research on the internet, and was still am pretty much obsessed with it. But I met some people that were part of a paranormal group that was actually going to do an investigation near Indianapolis. And they asked if I wanted to come along. And I'm like, I'm like, babe, I need one of those cameras that can film in the dark. And I need this, and I need this, and I need this. I'm going to put it all on YouTube. So I get there. And this place had actually been on Ghost Adventures at one point and was, you know, allegedly flooded with the demons and this, that, and the other. But I walked into the place and I felt at home. I felt really comfortable there. I loved the feeling. I knew it was different. I knew I had a weird feeling in the pit of my stomach. I never could actually pinpoint what it meant before. And I had a great time. We got some amazing evidence. But you know, when one of those other investigators screaming up the stairs, yelling and screaming, it was supposed to be haunted by a little girl named Rachel, screaming up the stairs, yelling, "Come at me, bro." Aww. I was like, you know, I don't think these are the people for me. No. So I kind of made my own team, which was me and my husband for a little bit. And I've been kind of been doing my own thing ever since.
That's fantastic.
And now this is what created the Oddity Files then? Is that how this all
started? Yeah, it absolutely is. Like I said, I had to have the equipment so I could put it on YouTube. And I was on YouTube for years. Every friend I ever knew came on my little investigations. And it just got to be too much. And it was, you know, Oddity Files crew on YouTube forever. And then we kind of narrowed it down to just myself, a close family friend named Clayton Abbott, and my youngest son, not the other son that I was talking about earlier, but my youngest son, Carter, came along. He was supposed to be like our cameraman, but come to find out he's got mom sensitivity. So that worked out real well. And then we ended up with three seasons on Amazon Prime. And then during the pandemic, Clayton moved all the way across the country. And Carter said, "Mom, it's been fun, but I think I'm done."
Oh.
So when you're doing these investigations, what kind of approach do you take? Like, how does this whole process work?
So I am not your average investigator. I'm not there for the thrills. I'm not there for the scares. I'm not there. I'm there for the story. I always have been. And I literally entered when I was doing these notoriously haunted locations. You know, I've been to Waverly, Bobby Mackey's. I've investigated in Australia. I walk into each location and I say, I am here out of love, light, peace, and positivity. I'm not here to hurt you, harm you, or take you away. I'm only here to tell your story. So, and I honestly think because I talk to them like they're standing right there in front of me, and I always have. And I think that's why they're willing to communicate back with me.
I love that so much. That's such a beautiful, just principle to work on. And it's really refreshing. I feel like most paranormal investigators, they go in with the mindset of like, we got to get this ghost out, but you take a very unique approach to it. And that's really beautiful.
Yeah. They almost act like they're dealing with demons and stuff along those lines.
Can I tell you, I have never come across a demon in 12 years. Just saying. My theory is if you're an asshole in life, you're going to be an asshole in death. And I believe these people that go in and want to be scared, they immediately label them a demon. And if you're going to piss them off, they're going to try to piss you off back.
That's fair.
So you think they are able to, you know, create their own narrative based on who they're interacting with?
One of my most astounding investigations was at Fear Factory in Salt Lake City, Utah. And again, it was another place that the Ghost Adventures had been. And, you know, they said that people had summoned demons to this silo, and it, you know, they did whatever the people who get demons do. And I walked into that silo and I felt a little off because it was a big metal silo next to a highway. So the sounds from the highway were just kind of swirling around inside the silo. But other than that, it felt fine. We saw some stuff. We got a couple stick figures going on with our SLS camera. I saw a white mist. Clayton saw a dark void of light. And then Clayton and his boyfriend James went out to get the pizza because we ordered pizza because, you know, that's what you do when you're on a ghost investigation. Mm. And it was just Carter and I in there. And I said, as soon as Clayton and James left, the spirit box said to me, here it goes. And I go, here what goes? And it goes, devil, demon, devil, demon, over and over again. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, you are not scaring me. You're not scaring me at all. I said, I want to know who you really are. Come to find out, it's a lady named Linda who was there with, I think, five other spirits. And honestly, she literally, once I spoke to her and, you know, let her know I wasn't there for the whole demon vibe, I got the clearest EVP ever via my odd box and my spirit box. And she said, we are just people. So there you go. The demons in the silo, Fear Factory, are just people that think they have to act like demons and devils because that's what they were trained to do.
Oh my God.
That is crazy.
So I live like 4-ish hours, 3-4 hours north of Salt Lake City. I live in Idaho. And I just Googled Fear Factory and I'm going to make a trip out this fall. It seems
it's gorgeous. I want to go through their haunted attraction, which they're supposed to be one of the best in the country.
Well, all the way. If you ever find yourself in this area and you want someone to accompany you there, I would be more than happy to, or if you need a place to crash, whatever, let me know because I definitely want to go check it out.
Awesome.
That'd be great.
Awesome. My new thing is though, I don't investigate notoriously haunted locations anymore. And I stepped out of my comfort zone and I am doing something I said I would never, ever, ever in a million years do. And I'm helping people who are dealing with a haunting. I mean, when I named that book, I'd rather talk to dead people. It's because it's true. I am not a people person. I generally hate people. People are generally disappointing, except for you and your listeners. Don't mean any harm by them. But
I think we all feel the same about people.
When did people stop having manners is what I want to know. Anywho, don't get me started. But I want to help people that are scared of this and dealing with this like I was, like my sister was, you know, not telling anybody. And it has turned into one of the most rewarding experiences of my entire life.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I grew up like terrified of any sort of like spirit, entity, ghost. I had the fear of like, even if a loved one came back, you know, and made themselves known to me that like, I was even terrified of that. I would like lay in my bed at night and be like, oh, the demons are going to get me. But now it's like, I had an experience where I was just in my kitchen one day and like I felt my grandpa's presence and it was the most comforting and wonderful thing. And I think just like the way you go about doing what you do is like your energy that you bring comes back in like great returns. And it's absolutely a super noble and commendable thing.
And we're finding out more often than not that it is people's loved ones coming back as spirit guides or guardian angels, trying to communicate with them, trying to guide them through life and trying to show them the signs, show them the way. And it, like I said, it's not where I expected to be in any way, shape or form. But, you know, I have never been more of a believer of spirit guides and guardian angels and all that stuff. You know, I knew I had mine. I knew I had my dad. I knew that Grandma Alice was there, but everybody's got it. And, you know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. My grandfather, you know, kind of like Sabrina said about her grandfather, my grandfather is really close to him and, you know, grew up. He was like my dad or whatever, and he passed away. And there are times where I'll be in like a moment of doubt or be down or whatever, and I can almost feel his presence, feel like a hand on my shoulder. Or even when I think about him, I get like kind of like goosebumps, but not in a bad way. That makes sense.
It absolutely does. It really, truly does. And I think, you know, if people would open their minds a little more, and I'm going to step on my soapbox a little bit, but you know, you open your minds to it a little more. You drop the fear of the paranormal, which I mean, as you know, I was terrified of it for so long, but if you open yourself up to it, they are trying to reach out for a reason. They are there to point you in the right direction. And it's actually a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Now, what kind of, home investigations do you have set up?
So we actually today released a brand new episode. We're releasing them in two parts, once a month on YouTube until next month. And then I've got super exciting news about that as well. But the first investigation I did was my best friend at the time. She had a touch lamp in her bedroom that was just turning off and on all by itself. And then when she would ask the touch lamp questions, it would turn it on and off on command. So she's like, you know what? I kind of think it's my grandma, but can you come over and maybe, you know, validate that for me? And we did, and it was, and then it was all wonderful. And I left. And then she called me the very next day. She's like, okay, all of a sudden, my mother is sending signs to my sisters. I think you need to come back. So we did. And it wasn't her mother that came through. It was her mother who got me there. But her father apologized for a lifetime of mistakes he made, told KJ how much regret he had and how proud of her he was. All of this by an app on my Oddbox. At first it came over, it's like, it says, I'm so sorry. And then it's another one. It said, I'm so ashamed. And I'm like, well, I don't know who this guy who's so sorry is, but we're here to talk to mom. And I turned it off. So we turned the actual spirit box back on. Oh, wow. And then it said it wanted me to step out of the room. And when I did, I heard it say, Phil. And I walked back in the room and I'm like, KJ and I are just friends, you know, recently. I didn't know a whole lot about her family. I said, I heard the name Phil. She's like, that would be my dad. And he would be sorry. And he would have regrets. And I'm like, oh, snap. Plot twist.
That's
oh
interesting. Gosh. Now, you said you have a odd box and a spirit box. What's the difference between them?
So the odd box is more of a speaker, but it's like a guitar amplifier and it's got pedals attached to it. So you can add reverb to it, which is really creepy and really cool, especially when it's on a TV show. And then you can actually take the white noise of the out of the spirit box on there as well. It's got crystals on it. It's got copper on it to lend to the energy. And the best part of it, it's got this huge brick battery attached to it that I always tell the spirits to use if they need extra energy, because I have never gone through that battery completely in an investigation ever. So it's got cool lights on it. It's really cool. And then I use the spirit box, and then there's a couple apps I like to use as well. So I tried a new app recently and I'm like, oh shit, I got a learning curve. I got to figure this one out, but I can't wait to. Hashtag goals are to actually make my own app someday, but I don't have millions of dollars to pay somebody to do that.
Ooh. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Now, what kind of, I guess, stuff are you seeing? Are you seeing orbs? Are you seeing full body aspirations? Or what kind of stuff are you seeing in these investigations?
In these home investigations, I'm not, I did see a cat shadow figure in the episode that went up today, which you can go to pxroad.com and the link's up there to watch that. But it's more, they're just trying to communicate. So we pull out the old school dowsing rods and we'll have a full session, a yes or no answer question session. The flashlight, I've always loved the flashlight. I call it the flashlight game when I'm explaining it to the ghosts. I don't really know what it's called, but where they can tap it on for yes and no answers. And then usually the most prevalent evidence is from the box and the SLS camera. So those are my go-tos. They really are. We actually had a cat communicating with us on. So this episode is called Static Man, and Evan's house is where we're at. And the Static Man actually came to Evan while he was sleeping, and his cat Edie tried to attack it. Edie ended up passing away not long after that. And then the Static Man actually brought Edie back in spirit to Evan. So he's like, I have to know who this is. Did we lose him?
No, he's still on. He's just listening.
Oh, sorry. I thought I didn't see your face. I was wondering if I was supposed to stop or not. The first spirit that came over was Edie, the cat. I have this music box there that kind of like if you walk by it, it'll make it start playing, almost like a motion sensor type thing. And the cat was actually answering questions. So my co-investigator on this, KJ McGlynn, she's literally a crazy cat lady, but in the best way possible. And she's studying how to become a pet communicator. And she had a full on conversation with Edie the cat. So it was really cool. And then we figured out who Static Man was. And it was amazing.
Who was Static Man?
Pappy. That's what Evan called him, Pappy Gene. So I called him Gene because I felt weird calling him Pappy. Oh, wow. But yeah, he had Evan had been going through some things with his family, and Pappy was there to tell him. I don't want to. Okay, spoilers. If you don't want to know, fast forward. But Pappy was there to tell him he was doing the right thing, and he needs to believe in himself. And that he loves the changes that he's made in his life and he's on the right path.
Oh, nice. My gosh, that's so heartwarming. I have a question. You talk about, you know, communicating with a cat, and I was wondering, like, have you ever had the same experience with dogs? Like, is that a thing? Like, I feel like I have a soul bond with my dogs, and I feel like my biggest fear in my life, like, the biggest trauma that I will ever experience is when I lose them. And so, I don't know, just, do you have anything comforting?
I am a dog person myself, and I have seen things in my house about the height of some of my past dogs. You know, it's always out of the corner of the eye. It's not like, oh, that one's Tasha or that one's Trixie. But I know they're here, and I feel the same way. Can I communicate with them? No. Have I had one of them come to me when I was trying to communicate with my own spirit guides during a meditation? Yes. So I don't know if she's my guardian doggy angel or what the deal is, but she died very young, and she came back to me and told me it wasn't my fault, which I knew that, and that she loved the time she had with us. And I'm getting all teary eyed over here. So yeah. Yeah, they're there, and they're keeping an eye on us.
Yeah, we, my wife has, or had a
connection. You're really crying. I'm so sorry.
Our past dog, Hannah. And
it's okay. No, don't say that. Don't let people know. Oh, I just love my dog.
That's what this new show is, though. It's all about the happy tears.
Just wait until you hear this. My wife, you know, our dog Hannah, you met her, Sabrina.
Yeah.
And that was her soul dog. And we rescued her. And we ended up having to put her down this past year. She had cancer. And the day or the night of that we put her down, the night sky is just full of fireflies. So, like, every time she sees these fireflies now, she just has this overcoming feeling of Hannah. It's like, it's nuts, and it's like never before has there been a connection like that. I don't know if it's a spiritual thing, but it's different.
Yeah, and once you open yourself up to that, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And more so than I want to, you know, make sure that people aren't scared of the paranormal, I want to show them how beautiful it is as well. The stories they have to tell, the encouragement they're giving. And, you know, it's been, and so the second investigation I did was actually a young man I knew. It was a friend of mine's son who died very early on during the pandemic. He was very, very special, but he was wheelchair bound. He could never walk. He could never really talk, nothing more than just a whisper. And when she told me she was seeing signs of him at the cemetery, I was like, I don't know. I'm afraid if I go there that, you know, I'm not going to be able to validate that this is anything for her. And I was more worried about breaking her than anything else. But guys, I tell you what, This kid watched all the ghost hunting shows, just like myself, used every piece of equipment that I brought out. And we were able to hear his voice for the first time, loud and freaking clear. It was such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And
God.
Yep, it was absolutely beautiful. So yeah, that's my new lot in life. I used to be all like, I need evidence. And then I'm all like, please let me tell your story. And now I'm like, let me heal you, you spirit and your human that you're attached to. And it's been so amazing. So very, very amazing.
Yeah, that must feel fulfilling doing something like that.
For sure.
Now, out of all of your investigations, do you have one that stands out the most?
Well, the Fear Factory one I had just told you about, just because That was the first time I went into somewhere where I'm like, oh my God, Zach and Aaron said there's demons here. So I'm a little scared, even though I don't believe in demons, there still might be demons here. But when it became such a beautiful story and the spirits, for sure. And I was just like, they're just like, hey, can you tell them we're not demons and to stop yelling at us? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Bobby Mackey's was another one. They're not like, a goddamn demon in the place. Yeah, exactly. And I was told an amazing story by a spirit named Abby. She showed herself to me. She showed herself to my goddamn cameras. Season 3, episode 6. I highly recommend our Bobby Mackey's episode. And then she followed me home. So, yeah, I have a couple of them that followed me home. Culberson Mansion was another one. Yeah, they're all girls. I just kind of bond with them, and I turn into, you know, I mommy bear kicks in sometimes where, you know, a spirit tells me they're scared of something there. And I'm like, I will protect you from something I can't see and know nothing about. Stand behind me, even though I can't see you and know nothing about you. And then they're just like, oh, I have a protector. I'm just going to follow her home.
That's, oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
That's awesome. Now, what kind of interactions do you have when they follow you home? That's interesting.
So I don't want to make you cry again, Sabrina, but the dog I was talking about that came to me, that's how I found out that the first young lady followed me home. She was playing with something that wasn't there. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching it go on. I'm like, you know, I totally forgot to smudge myself after the Culberson Mansion investigation. And I pretty much, as I was editing it, realized that I pretty much invited her home without inviting her home. And so I'm like, okay, Anna, if that's you, can you bring Tasha to me, which is the dog that was playing with nothing. And the dog walked right up to me. So that's about it. We hear some footsteps, noises up in the master bathroom, and me and my husband just yell out into nothing because we're empty nesters. We just go, ghost! And, you know, that's it. So we lived happily ever after.
My dog's name is Ghost. His name is Ghost.
I love it.
There he is.
Got the puppy on cam.
Yeah.
He's sleeping.
That's all he does. That's his favorite hobby, is sleeping and cuddling and looking at mom.
All right. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about Paranormal Crossroads before we go?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my new thing that I keep forgetting to tell people the name of it. So it's Paranormal X Road. So I thought I'd, you know, bring the 90s back because, you know, I'm old and, you know, menopausal. Yep. So it's Paranormal X Road, like X Games and you know,
yes.
I don't know. Plus, somebody on Facebook already had Paranormal Crossroad. So that's the thing, where it's feel good paranormal. we, you know, our goal every episode at this point is to bring some kind of happy tears. I didn't mean to do it during this podcast again. I'm so sorry. But it's apparently my MO at this point.
No problem.
We recently ran a Kickstarter. And we're trying to get on Indianapolis TV, and we hit our Kickstarter goal in under 3 days. So right now we're currently doing some stretch goals. Right. Yeah, absolutely insane. It blew our minds. But check us out on Facebook. It's Paranormal X Road. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and you can go to Paranormal X Road or spell out Paranormal Crossroad. That's without an S. So it's not Crossroads. It's Crossroad, because I make everything harder than it has to be. Mm-hmm. You can watch episodes there. You can check out our Kickstarter there. We've got merch. We've got all the stuff and all the things. I need to shout out my podcast real quick. It's called Oddity Files. And it's me and my co-host, Nick Floyd. And we tell each other creepy stories with enough snark and humor so that you can still sleep with the lights off.
Definitely.
That's amazing. That sounds awesome.
Now, is that on Spotify then?
It's on all the stuff and all the things. It's on Audible. It's on Pandora and Apple and Google and all the things.
Definitely. I'll have you send me the links to all that and I'll drop them in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep. Hey, do you have any last questions, Sabrina, before we close it out for the night?
I mean, that, I don't know, it's just not so much as questions, just like, thank you. I mean, yeah, I just, wow, I don't even know. I'm just going to ramble and say fragments of sentences because, like, I don't know, I feel a lot of feelings.
All the feels.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's, you guys, I really appreciate you having me on. Definitely. I am absolutely not your average paranormal chick, a paranormal investigator, paranormal researcher. If you want to find all my stuff and all my things, head to flow.page/Kinsey Duncan and all my stuff is there.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Creepy Unsolved. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more like it, please leave us a rating and review on whatever platform you are listening from. This will help our podcast grow. Also, be sure to subscribe, follow, and share the podcast. If you have an interesting story or would like to be a guest on a future episode of Creepy Unsolved, please reach out to us through Instagram or Facebook at Creepy Unsolved. Or send us an email at creepyunsolvedmedia@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.